Got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 18. But I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, a little known man in the life of Jesus. A little known man in the life of Jesus. All of us like to be recognized from time to time in our lives that we exist and what we've been able to accomplish and our purpose and plan behind things. But we're going to share this morning about a man by the name of Joseph. And this man, Joseph, was espoused or pledged or engaged to his bride. Jewish custom in the marriage went kind of like this. There's about three steps to it. And first, the families agree. And this mom and dad got with that mom and dad, and they agreed to give their daughter to their son to be married. That was the first part. When that was done, oftentimes the bride and groom-to-be meet for the first time. They had no say-so in who their spouse was going to be and this. But when they meet and they're pledged and are engaged to one another, the only way that that could be aborted would be through death or through divorce. And then the third part of the Jewish wedding ceremony was the wedding itself. And here, Mary and Joseph are in the second phase of these three steps that goes into the marriage of a Jewish son and daughter. And the scripture says here that in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused or pledged or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before the actual marriage ceremony and the relationship of a true husband and wife, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Think with me now. Men especially, I want you to try to follow me this morning, and I want us to see some things, because we oftentimes like taking the back seat and letting the ladies encourage us in a lot of things that we do in our hearts and our lives. But here in this instance, he is going to finally meet the one that his mother and father and her mother and father have come together to pledge to be husband and wife. And can you imagine the thoughts, the ideas, the hopes, the dreams that he has as he's waiting to see his bride? Wonder what color her hair is. What color eyes does she have? Is she pretty? You know, can she cook? All these things, you know, he's wondering and thinking about and all. Who's going to be his best man? Who's going to stand up with him, his buddies and stuff? Who he's going to invite to do all these things? Finally, they get together, and they come together to meet. He notices she's real nervous, kind of upset-like. He's wondering, you know, if she's got the butterflies he's got in his stomach from meeting her. And then finally they come to the point in a place where they have to talk. And she has to admit to him, the one that she is pledged to be his bride, that she's pregnant. Can you imagine what Joseph had to feel when he got that news that she was pregnant? No, not the one that I'm. Mama and Daddy didn't make that big a mistake. They wouldn't go out and pick somebody like that for me. And as she shares with him her story, the scripture says that she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's bad enough for him to get the news that she's pregnant. But where did she come up with the story that she was pregnant by the Holy Ghost? God Himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God Himself had impregnated Mary in order that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, could come into this world in a sinless state, live a sinless life, and die on a cross for us in our hearts and our lives. Guys, how would you have handled it? What would you have said? What would you have done? Think about him for a moment. The scripture says that he was entitled to two things. That he could get a bill of divorcement from her, and if he did, the Jewish authorities of the day had the authority to stone her to death. Now listen what Joseph decided to do in verse 19. It said, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. The best thing that he could do was just to keep it as low-key as he could and write this bill of divorcement and send her away. Hopefully the Jewish council wouldn't take her up and stone her to death. But I had to think about Joseph. What a humiliation. What's all his buddies going to say? What's he going to do when he goes back to his best man and said, hey, I'm sorry. I hope you hadn't already rented that suit, but we got to call off this wedding. Why? What you calling the wedding off for? Well, she's pregnant. What would that best man say to his best bud? Man, you kidding me? Mary? Of all people, Mary? Then think about what it said here in verse 20. He decided the best thing for him to do was put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He had listened to her story. She shared that she was pregnant by the Holy Ghost, God Himself. How the angel had appeared, told all of her story to him and his life. And he just decided the best thing to do was to put her away privately. Just give her a bill of divorcement and send her back to her mom and dad. But I like the way verse 20 started there. It said, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. While he was trying to decide what to do, God sent his messenger, his angel. What did that say about Joseph while he thought on these things? I listed four things I want us to think about concerning his old obedience to obey the angel and what the angel tells him to do here in this verse. The scripture says, the first thing the angel told him was, fear not to take Mary to be thy wife. Don't give it a second thought. Joseph, you go right ahead with your wedding plans. You go right ahead and marry the woman that has been chosen for you. Because everything she told you about that child that is conceived in her is of God. Said here, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then he gives her an idea. Today we have these revealings and stuff, you know, where couples that are expecting their babies, you know, will call the family and friends together and they'll have blue for a boy and pink for a girl and do all the things that we do this day and time, you know. And when Reagan came along, Kim said, you want to know what it is? I said, no, I want to just find out when they handed her to me. And the old-fashioned way, you know. But in his case here, here's what the angel told him. She shall bring forth a son. Oh, all us guys, we think we got to have a boy, don't we? Girls do good. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus, the Lord saves. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, think about it with me. You're Joseph. My wife's pregnant. She claims to be pregnant by the Holy Ghost. God sent an angel to reassure me that what she's saying is true. But now, tagged on to the end of that, he's telling me here that it's going to be a boy. His name is to be Jesus, and he's going to save his people from their sins. Powerful child, isn't it? Months before it's ever born, it's already loaded with the sin and wrong of a world that needs a Savior. And the scripture says in verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. He's leaving his throne in the form of a babe, coming to live and die for the sins of you and I and our hearts and our lives. What do you think Joseph was thinking? What he was pondering here? There's some things that really stood out to me concerning him when I looked in his life. I went back to the first verse, or first thing in verse 19. And I saw Joseph's righteousness. What have I told you righteousness is? What's morally proper in the sight of doing the right thing, but more importantly, doing the right thing in the right way. A lot of times we do the right thing, but we do it in the wrong way. And it has a lot of repercussions from it. But I saw his righteousness here. He wanted to do the right thing. And I saw his discretion and his opportunity here to show some sensitivity. And he come up with the conclusion, the best thing for me to do is just put her away privately. And then all of a sudden here this angel appears. And he speaks to him, and he has to respond to what he says here in his life, and then his discipline. So let's look and see what he says here. concerning this and what he's doing here. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Joseph, being raised from sleep, he come out of his dream, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, the one that was betrothed, pledged to him. He had no more hesitation to do what the Lord wanted him to do in his heart and his life. Now, think with me for a minute. The Jews are going to have a real problem with this. Why is the Jewish nation going to have a problem with it? Because they were expecting what? They were looking for the Messiah. They was hoping for the future that he was going to come. But they were expecting him to come and do what? Set up his kingdom right there in the land of Israel, didn't he? And to build his temple there, and his power and his glory and his honor would be on the Jewish nation of people. All of us who were not Jews, they could care less about. But Jesus said, God said, he sent his son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, did he? He wanted it to be an opportunity for you and I, both Jew and Gentile, to have that opportunity in our hearts and our lives. Joseph was a man who had real strong beliefs. I believe with all of my heart he wanted to do the right thing. But regardless of the pain, regardless of the humiliation, the shame, the reproach that might be on him, God has sent him a mission to accomplish, to be the father of the son of the Savior of the world, the earthly father, to carry him out. Shortly after this, you know what happens? Joseph goes amiss. We don't see him anymore. We don't hear from him anymore except for one time. Anybody remember when that is? When he was 12 years old, Jesus, they were all down for the Passover. And all the families got together, and Joseph and Mary got with their family, all of his friends, brother-in-laws, in-laws, outlaws, whatever it was. And they went a day and a half's journey back to their homeland before they ever looked around and saw, where's that boy at? Where's Jesus? They turned around, went back. Where'd they find him at? In the temple. And it amazed the temple folks that he could teach with such knowledge and wisdom. Why could he do that? He was God's son. That was all gone. In his heart and his life. And in his life, he's trying to sort all this out. Would you say he had a pretty big decision to make? Absolutely. Only to be forgotten. What could have happened in them 12 years? What happened beyond those 12 years? Now, we seem to think when Jesus began his ministry there in his early 30s there, worked through that, everybody kind of commentaries and authorities and scholars and stuff agree that Joseph has already passed away, and Mary has a bunch of children that she is in charge, and Jesus being the oldest. And having these responsibilities in her heart and her life. But we know this much. Before Joseph died, he taught Jesus a trade. What was the trade? A carpenter, wasn't it? And he used that trade to help care for his mom and his younger siblings that come along after him in his heart and his life. And he had a real love for his mom, as many of us do in our lives, for our mothers and our fathers and stuff. And as he's hanging on that tree, who hung with him? All the disciples scattered like a covey of quail. But who was with him? The women was, wasn't it? Chief among those was Mom. What did he say to John? He gave John the responsibility to take care of his mom, didn't he? We got that same responsibility today in our lives. To care for those who cannot care for themselves. The scripture says that Joseph raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. So we see his righteousness, we see his sensitivity, his responsibility to do what he's supposed to do. He used good discernment to make good decisions. And then his self-discipline. He had to forget completely about himself and think about the responsibility that the Lord had given him. The scripture says, verse 25, that he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What did the angel tell him? Believe Mary, she's not lying about being the child that she's conceived with is of the Lord. It's a male child. Name him Jesus. He's to be the Savior of the world. He knew her not, as she brought forth her firstborn son, allowed that virgin birth so that she would have a son that could be the candidate for a sinless life, in order that Larry Havard and every one of you, if we make wise decisions, to be saved, to trust the Lord in our time of need and in our hearts and our lives. Sometimes you and I may find ourselves in a situation where we wonder, now how in the world is anybody going to think or believe me? But the question shouldn't always be, who's going to believe me? The question ought to be, who are we going to believe? Who are we going to believe? When God speaks to our hearts, reveals to us his will, who are we going to believe? God or man? You know, the devil's got so many people hoodwinked into the idea, thought in their hearts and their lives, you know, that just being a good person. Joseph had to be a whole lot more than just a good person, didn't he? He had to have deep, deep thoughts of who God was and what God was asking him to do in his heart and his life. I've taught you one other thing as your pastor that I want to bring to your remembrance. In closing, the Lord is never going to call on you to do anything that he doesn't equip you and empower you to do. And old Joseph had his wagon loaded. He was just one step away of making a bad decision. If he made that bad decision, what was going to happen? All of his friends and all of his loved ones was going to do what? Laugh him to scorn. Silly boy, you know. But he waited until he got a word from the Lord. Patient. And then when he heard what God had to say to him through the angel, he was submissive to take Mary, be content to wait until the child was born to consummate the wedding and be truly husband and wife. Raised Jesus' son wasn't his, but a son that was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Taught him a trade, turned him loose, and let him be the Savior of the world. No hip hip hooray, no grandstanding for Joseph. Wasn't about Joseph, it was about who? Jesus. What about us? Is Jesus number one in our lives? Is that what we're all about? Serving the Lord and doing His will in our hearts and our lives. Will you pray with me? Father, as I think of Joseph, what a man. Most of us would have been so ashamed, see ourselves as being so disgraced. How could she put us to such open shame? Stone her, get rid of her, kill her, make sure she's dead. She don't deserve to live. That's not what he said, was it? Father, I know in my life, if you hadn't been merciful to me, gave me opportunity after opportunity, time to mature and time to reflect and understand that my only hope, my only peace is with you. And you was willing to forgive me of all that sin and wrong. I fail you often, God. But when I confess, you forsake it and help me put it away. I just look out over this crowd this morning, Father. I wonder this morning, do they have that hope? Do they all have that peace, that joy, that love that only you can give? Not this is an opportunity, the Lord, this morning. They can step out and say, Brother Larry, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. Maybe they want to come to these altars and just kneel down at these altars and have a little talk with Jesus. And He'll help you to make it right in your heart and your life. Forgive us, Father, is our prayer now in Jesus' name. Any decision, any reflection, let it come from you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing, Brother Ernie?
What a friend we have in Jesus.
As we stand together.